Welcome. I'm Pastor Vincent Grissom, and this is Applying God's Word, a teaching ministry from the Word of God. This is study number 130, titled Forgiveness, Part 2. So to continue from last time, we have a couple more questions to study today. They are, how do I receive and extend forgiveness? And what are the results of receiving and extending forgiveness? But first, let's quickly summarize from last time. The key is that God wants us to forgive each other from our heart. It's through receiving and extending forgiveness to one another that we can live in right relationships with one another. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of heaven. He focuses on an unmerciful servant who owed a debt of 10,000 bags of gold. He and his family and all that he had were about to be sold to pay the debt. But because he begged the master for mercy, his debt was canceled and he was free to go. Soon afterward, he found a fellow servant who owed him just 100 silver coins. And although his fellow servant begged him for mercy, he refused to have mercy on him. He grabbed him and began to choke him, demanding payment, and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Let's pick it up in verse 32 through 35. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Father, help us to let go of any right we might think we have towards unforgiveness and forgive each other from our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin today by first looking at our forgiveness from God. Our forgiveness from God is based in the nature of God. God is merciful, but he is also just, meaning he requires payment for every offense. Since we do not have anything worthy of paying the payment required for our offenses, we have two options. We either spend eternity suffering and paying on, but never paying off, our debt obligation to God for the offenses we have committed against him. Or we receive the forgiveness, the release from that debt obligation based on a worthy payment having been made on our behalf. Jesus Christ is that worthy payment made on our behalf if we have put our faith in him alone and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Our forgiveness then is based in the fact that God's justice has been satisfied, and he therefore extends his mercy to us based on that fact. Those who receive Jesus receive the payment he made on their behalf. They receive God's forgiveness instead of God's wrath, because his wrath was satisfied in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. God's mercy desired to forgive, but his justice required payment. Because Jesus made that payment, the Father now extends his mercy, his forgiveness, to all who will receive Jesus to be their personal Savior. We are tangled in sin and cannot untangle ourselves from its hold. When we turn from our sinful works to Jesus, this is repentance. It is exercising faith towards him, and he will then untangle us from the entanglement of sin. He will forgive us. Now, our receiving forgiveness from others and extending forgiveness to others is based first in the command of God to forgive and in our willingness to repent of the offense we have offended them with. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4 says, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." Genuine forgiveness by the offended and repentance of the offender fully restores damaged relationship and sets each one free from the bondage that held them. Two components are necessary for both parties to be free through forgiveness: repentance by the offender and forgiveness by the offended. When both occur, all offenses are put away forever, never to be brought up again. But the one who revisits a prior offense when the offender has repented of it, or when they get upset at that person, has never really forgiven their offender. A root of bitterness still exists, and it holds that person in bondage whether they realize it or not. The "I'll forgive you, but never forget" attitude reveals that genuine forgiveness has never been extended. It's easy to tell someone you forgive them from your mouth, but God says we must forgive them from our heart. Genuine forgiveness releases forever the one from the debt of his offense and will never again revisit the offense that has been forgiven. You might ask, what if my offender never repents of his offense? You are still required to forgive him, but the relationship may not be fully restored until he repents of his offense. Mark 11 verses 25 and 26 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So whether your offender repents or not, you need to forgive him of the debt of his offense. Restoration of a relationship requires repentance for the offender and forgiveness for the offended. In order to keep your prayer life unhindered and your relationship right with God, extend forgiveness even when it's not sought. So, a couple of questions. First, how do I receive and extend forgiveness? You receive forgiveness from God based upon the payment for your offense having been made by Jesus. Your confession and repentance restores your relationship with God to a right standing. You extend forgiveness to others based upon your obligation to God for his having forgiven you. Repentance for your offense is always important, as it will restore your relationship with the one you have offended. Now, our second question: what are the results of forgiveness having been received or extended? Well, the result of forgiveness having been received from God is that you are set free from your debt, first by the cross, and now by your confession and repentance. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The guilt and fear that are products of the presence of sin in your life have been removed so that you can live in the freedom of confidence towards God. Guilt is a burden that can be eliminated no other way than by receiving forgiveness from God. As I mentioned last time, we sometimes misunderstand the cause of guilt, thinking it's because we have not forgiven ourselves. But nowhere in the Bible does it say to forgive yourself. So consider that this guilt is due to our having not accepted the full forgiveness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of God is huge. Embrace it. We are all told to forgive others, not ourselves. Draw near to God for forgiveness. Never minimize or unintentionally make light of the guilt and debt-relieving, restorative power of the forgiveness of God. You are indeed free if the Son sets you free. The forgiveness of God is enormous. Confess and repent from your heart. God does not intend for you to wallow in the guilt from an offense he has forgiven you of. Hebrews 10 verses 22 encourages us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. When we receive God's forgiveness, we find that the guilt disappears, along with the fear that accompanies the recognition of being guilty before God. The result of forgiveness having been received from someone you have offended is that you have been freed from your debt to them, and the relationship that has been broken by your offense has been restored, and there is nothing to inhibit your fellowship with one another. The result of forgiveness having been extended to someone who has offended you is tremendous. First, you have released them from their obligation to pay all that they owe you because of the debt they incurred when they offended you. The person who has offended you has been delivered from bondage by your act of forgiveness. The bondage of bitterness that you are experiencing as a resulting consequence of you refusing to forgive someone has been removed, and you have been freed from its captivity. Forgiveness benefits both people. Your unimpeded relationship with the Lord that is dependent upon your willingness to forgive others so that the Lord can forgive you has been restored, and your prayers to God are unrestricted. You've given up the bitterness that you held over your offender because of their offense for the freedom that can only be experienced when you release your offender from their indebtedness to you. If, however, we refuse to receive God's forgiveness, we will live guilt-ridden, fearful lives and will never experience the taste of true freedom until we are willing to release our sin and receive His forgiveness. If we refuse to extend forgiveness to those who offended us, God holds us in contempt of His forgiveness, so we will remain in bondage to our bitterness. Receiving forgiveness sets you free from the bondage of indebtedness. Extending forgiveness releases others from the bondage of their indebtedness to you. So, who has wronged you? Who do you need to forgive? Remember that forgiveness is a choice of will. When it comes to forgiveness, there are three questions to answer. Have you received the forgiveness of God for your sins that have offended Him? Have you repented of the offense by which you have offended someone else? Have you forgiven the one who has offended you? Each of us are on both the side that offends as well as the side that needs to be forgiven. On the cross, bearing the pain and humiliation as an act of His will, Jesus extends forgiveness, not only to the Roman soldiers and the religious leaders, but to us. I'm going to leave you with this verse from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.